you really want to impress your woman, get her some M&Ms. Why? It's because M&Ms will be featuring some flipped images of their female spokes candies. You know, the green, the brown, and the purple characters that they show on television? Those are the female characters or spokes candies for M&Ms. And because women are flipping the script and defining success and happiness in different ways these days, they're featuring these female spokes candies flipped or upside down on the packages and on the candies. It's going to be interesting to see. All right? All right. I just thought you'd want to know something like that because that's a great idea for Valentine's Day. Marketing geniuses all over the world. I'll tell you what, you can be a genius. Stick around. We're going to take a 15-minute break for the Pleasant Green Baptist Church. I'm coming back with more of the music that matters. Got Brent Jones to kick off another session. We've got Bible Jeopardy on the way, too. So be listening for that right here on the Unstoppable Wade Hampton Show.
The Unstoppable Wade Hampton Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Greetings, and we welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to the Pleasant Green Baptist Church Media Outreach Ministry with our anointed pastor, Reverend Michael H. Grimes. Join him as he preaches the word of God. This message is already in progress.
And I look at him as a mentor, as a father. Amen. Amen. He is so knowledgeable, has so much wisdom and understanding of not only scripture, but in life in general. Amen. So often, young preachers and young men don't have a mentor. Amen. And so I'm proud to say that he is a mentor, a father, and a friend. Amen. Amen. I told Pastor Price Church a couple of weeks ago, I said, ain't but two people I trust, amen. It's hard to trust people in ministry, amen, but I would literally trust him and Pastor Price. They are such an inspiration to me, amen. Amen. And I pray God's blessing on his life and his ministry, that God will continue to use him in a miraculous way. Amen. Every time I talk to him, amen, if I'm on the phone with him 5 minutes, 3.5 minimum minutes, it's all about Pleasant Green. That man talk about Pleasant Green so much. Y'all don't realize the magnitude of his love for you all. Amen. And every time he gets a chance, amen, Pleasant Green, Pleasant Green, Pleasant Green, Pleasant Green. And I say, all right, I got you. But he's thinking about you all, amen, tremendously, amen. He speaks speaks in a way that is unique for a pastor, amen. So many pastors, after probably about 5 years, they kind of, the honeymoon is over, amen. And some pastors regret, amen, the church that they pastor, amen, amen. They regret, amen, being where they are. But this pastor, amen, he do not look at Pleasant Green as a window. Amen. You know how you can look out the window and keep looking and keep looking? You don't look at this church as a window. Amen. Some people get churches and they just get them till they find something better. But it's not his mindset. Amen. He love you all, and y'all know that. Amen. I just have to say that. Amen. Amen. But I also want to say, before I say anything else, is that the magnitude of his responsibility down south, amen, is tremendous. Amen. The parish that he covers, amen, St. Landry Parish is one of the largest parishes in the state. St. Martin Parish, St. Landry Parish. And his job description, amen, requires him to be stretched wide, amen. And so I'm praying that God would continue to give him the strength, amen, to see about everybody else's problems, amen, amen. And so many murderers lurking in St. Landry Parish. The murder rate is skyrocketing. Your pastor has to investigate, amen, every single murder, amen, and try to help people, amen, get their loved ones home. And this multifarious of things I can't begin to discuss, amen, but it's a lot, amen, amen. And so we continue to pray for him, not only give him physical, amen, strength to continue, amen, and to protect him, amen. Amen, on the highways and byways. Amen. I know the feeling of being a truck driver with no CDL. Amen. He's a truck driver with no CDL. I did that for 3 years, and that woke me up, and I was in my early 30s. So I could imagine, amen, being a truck driver with no CDL. Amen. Amen. I want to summons your senses and invite your intellect to Jude. I want to look at this doxology. Amen. 24:25. Amen. I also want to thank, amen, the preachers of the Gospels. Amen. Attorney Reverend Guillory. Amen. God bless him. And my brother, amen. It's a burden and a blessing in preaching. Amen. Amen. Brother Aaron, Reverend Aaron, amen. All right. I'm going to look at Jude. Amen. 24:25. Read this from the King James Version. Simply says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceedingly joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Grass with the fall fades away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I just want to talk about he's still keeping me. still. Tell your neighbor, say neighbor. Chris want to talk about him. He's still keeping me. Amen. Amen. This morning, brothers and sisters, there is something here in this book of Jude. When the Bible was being weighed by biblical scholars that canonized it, there were several books on the hit list that were to be excluded from the Bible. Are y'all listening? Jude was one of them. When one read the book of Jude, seemingly, if you don't have any rocks, gospel rocks in your pockets to weigh you down, if you don't really have any cement in your godly shoes, my brothers and sisters, seemingly, you will perhaps walk away more wounded than healed.
Yes.
This book of Jude is very confusing, for he violates most of the established laws of linguistics, and he annihilates systematic theology ridiculously. I wish I had a witness in here. He does what in Latin vernacular means to send God's thoughts into oblivion. We find, my brothers and sisters, this morning, it is difficult to digest the scattering ramifications of his thinking. It is difficult to understand what he is saying because we cannot systematically trace what he is saying. I want y'all to take the bricks off me this morning. Amen. We can get out here and go home. Amen. We learn in English and literature that in writing, everyone first, you must what? Have a thesis. That is what contains the subject matter. And secondly, you must have a synthesis. That is what stands in agreement with the subject matter. And not only must you have a thesis, a synthesis, but you must have an antithesis, because antithesis, it investigates the wrong, the subject matter. In other words, my brothers and sisters, Jude, you will discover nothing about what he cares about, this grammatical violation of the law. Amen. He has no thesis, for he appears to have nothing to establish. He has no synthesis because he seems to agree with nothing in particular. And then he has no antithesis because he does not have anything in particular against anything that he is saying. What I'm saying in a nutshell, my brothers and sisters, is we know little about Jude. Except that he is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ,
right.
The brother of James.
Yeah.
The first thing you notice in Jude, it is that it is quite an uncomfortable position for him to be in.
Yeah.
As this writer. He is jammed between the law, the book of John's, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And then we see that he is sandwiched between the judgment seat of the book of Revelations.
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, he only has one chapter, so he makes every lick count.
Yes, sir.
He does not have the length and breadth of Isaiah.
No.
Yeah.
He has one shot, and he must make this shot count.
Yes.
When we examine his writing, you will find that he is scattery. Somewhat like Ezekiel. He starts off in verse 2 talking about grace and mercy. In verse 3, he jumps from the attributes of God and starts dealing with what psychologists call a metaphysical realm of pluralistic thinking. And not only does he deal with this pluralistic thinking, but which simply means that he is tying up our thoughts so that he can get his thoughts through. But in verse 4, he talks about false prophet and lasciviousness. In verse 5, he talks about the land of Egypt. He jumps from scattered situations. He then jumps out of Egypt, and then he leaves.